Good afternoon, everyone. It's amazing that in just a little over 24 hours, we'll be celebrating the Day of Atonement once again. And this time next week, Sabbath, will be a special Sabbath, a Holy Day Sabbath, and we'll be at various places around the United States and around this world. So I'd like to wish all of you a happy feast, as this will be, of course, the last time I'll have a chance to speak with you as a group. And this afternoon I would like to share with you a tool that my family and I have used for several years, and for us as a family has brought some amazing results. Now, before I begin, I must say that today I'm talking a little bit outside of my comfort zone, because normally I don't feel comfortable sharing what we do in our lives, or our spiritual lives, or our prayer lives, and feel much more comfortable speaking directly from the Bible. However, I will say over the past years, we have reaped so many blessings from this tool that I just felt compelled to share it with you today. But before I share that tool, let's turn to Deuteronomy 14, the 14th chapter of Deuteronomy, and I'll read verse 22, starting in verse 22. This is a very familiar set of scriptures, and nothing new, but it's a good reminder for us. In Deuteronomy 14, in the 22nd verse, it says, "You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place he chooses to make his name abide, the tithe of your grain, of your new wine, and of your oil, of the firstborn of your herds and of your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if the journey is too long for you so that you're not able to carry the tithe, or the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord God has blessed you, you may exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses." And in verse 26, "And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen, for sheep, for wine, similar drink, for whatever your heart desires, you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household." Again, this is familiar scriptures, and here's part of our commandments for keeping the second tithe, saving a second tithe throughout the year. But what a wonderful command and plan that God has for us. Save your money, go have whatever you want, your heart desires, and rejoice. What a great plan. And as we all know, the Feast of Tabernacles, it represents a time when we in the future will reign with Christ. It represents a perfect time, a time of peace, a time of no crime, a time of no sickness. And so what a grand opportunity it is for us each year to annually celebrate this, to picture it and look forward to it. The only problem that we have with this is that we still live on earth, and we don't live in the perfect world. And so as we travel out to the feast each year, although we're trying to picture a utopia, a perfect world, we have problems. We have disappointments. How many of you have gone to the feast before and somewhere encountered a type of disappointment or problem? Anybody out there? Wow, shocking. Well, I have had many, many similar problems, and I remember one particular feast. It probably had to be 10, 12 years ago, and we had problems with flights being delayed, and our hotel accommodations weren't what we were expecting, and the weather wasn't quite as warm as I had hoped for. And after all these, quote, problems, after the feast, Victoria spoke some very timely words. She said to me, she just looked at me, she said, "Did we specifically pray for each of these things before the feast?" And I kind of looked at her and said, "Well, yeah, kind of, I think so. I mean, before the feast, I prayed that everything would go well, and I prayed that for safety, and, you know, I prayed that we had a good feast." But she looked at me again and said, "Well, you know, did you specifically pray for our airplane flight? Did you specifically pray about the weather?" And I said, "You know, not really. I didn't break it down into that case." She says, "Well, let's work together, and next year when the feast comes, let's put together a family feast prayer list." and we'll put everything down. We'll get together as a family, and we'll just list everything that we would like to request of God. And so we did. So the next year, when the feast came around, shortly before the feast, we got together as a family, and we sat down at a computer. And again, any of you don't need a computer. You can sit down with paper and pen. But we sat at the computer, and we brought up a spreadsheet program, and we had our different categories. We had weather, we had hotel, we had spiritual gifts, air flight. You know, I would say we probably had 8 to 10 different categories. And then under each everybody took a turn and would list their different requests. And, you know, no request was too small. And we'd break it down so fine, like under rental car, we'd put low mileage. You know, and you might say, well, that's ridiculous. But God says, whatever your heart desires. And so if I'm going to get a rental car and I'd like it to be like brand new, then why not ask? And so, you know, myself and my family, we took God at his word, and we let him know ahead of time what our heart's desires were. I would say that our list was long, it was detailed, but the results that we had were astonishing. After the feast, we looked back, and I think that year, probably total, probably were about 150 things, details written down. And no, I can't say that every last detail was answered, but a vast majority were, and we just, as a family, had a fantastic feast, and it was just so inspiring as a family to see some of the different events unfold and see some of the blessings. That year, and in many years since, we've truly been able to rejoice with God. Now, I probably could spend the entire sermonette time, announcement time, even the sermon time, sharing with you some of the answers to prayers over the past 10 years. But instead, I'd just like to share one with you. That first year that we put our feast prayer list together, we're traveling to South Carolina for the feast, but we flew to Florida first because I had about 3 weeks off for the feast, so we had enough time to go to Disney World before and after the feast. And that year, I wanted to get a minivan, but because we were going to be gone so long and we had limited funds, minivans were very expensive that year. I don't know why. Minivans were about double the cost of any other vehicle. And so, to make a long story short, you know, we didn't get a minivan, and so we listed for God, you know, what we wanted in the car that we're going to get. And when we arrived in Florida, I think I was getting the bags. Victoria went in and got the car, and she came out, and she just had the smile from ear to ear. And I said, "What, you know, what's up?" She goes, "Here's the van. Here's the keys to your van." When we got there, without requesting it, we had an upgrade to a van. And, you know, sometimes with rental cars, you can get an upgrade from one class to another, but it's not typical to be upgraded to a minivan. And then we were happily on our way for, about an hour, and then we got to our hotel. And then another huge problem happened. And that problem was, the problems started happening again, but it was a little bit different this time, because our problem there was, we had ordered some annual passes for Disney World, and they're supposed to be waiting for us at the hotel. And we got there, and they didn't have them, so we had to get on the phone and call headquarters. And they said, "We're so sorry. We're so sorry for this problem. And yes, it was supposed to be here. And so you'll have your passports, and they'll be at no cost." I don't know if you've been to Disney World or not, but an annual pass to Disney World is no cheap ticket. That just saved my family close to $1,000 for that little problem. So here we were. We're at the feast. I've been there now for maybe 2 hours. I now have the minivan that I didn't expect, and I have $1,000 extra to spend. So that's just one example. And again, God is not going to bless you every time in this magnitude. But I can say every year as we do the family feast prayers, it's amazing what God can do for you at the feast. So what in the remaining time, I'd like to share with you a few keys that I feel I can share with you. So if you choose to do a family prayer list, or, you know, a couple's prayer list, or your single prayer list, some points that will help you. Number one, make sure that all your requests are not selfish. And I'm sure you're not going to do this. And yes, we are to make sure that we ask for our heart's desires. But make sure that in our prayers we're praying for others, asking for the needs of the church, and all of that. Two, specifically, and again, this kind of dovetails, two, pray for the needs of the church as a whole at the festival site and within the community that we're in. Three, make sure that in your list that you include spiritual gifts. Because again, we need to remember that the overall goal at the feast is to grow in our spiritual knowledge, and that yes, the physical blessings are wonderful and it makes it all the more fun, but we must remember the purpose that we're at the feast for, and make sure that we specifically pray for spiritual gifts. Number four, make sure that we pray for and include those who are unable to be at the feast. And again, it's very encouraging to see the feast baskets that we'll be putting together after the feast for those who are unable to attend. But again, I've been attending the feast for nearly 40 years now, and in all those years I've been able to attend the feast every year, but just once. And that was when I was 5 years old. But I still can remember not being able to go to the feast that year and how disappointing that was. So we need to make sure that we are able to include those who are unable to attend the feast, and to pray for them, and not just to pray for them, but to make sure that we do something, that we send them a postcard or purchase a small gift for them. Because it's so easy as individuals to say, well, Mr. Olson was up there and he said to make sure. So, you know, we have 150 people in the congregation, so I'm sure if I just don't send a postcard, you know, they won't miss it, you know. But what if each of us do the same thing? Then nobody gets any postcards. And what a wonderful gift that would be if those people that don't attend, if they just were flooded with cards or letters of encouragement. So include on your prayer list that you will do something for those that are unable to attend the feast this year. Fifth, be very specific in your request. David in the book of Psalms refers to his prayers as incense. And I don't know if you're familiar with incense, but if you look at incense, they're very small. They're really broken down. In Revelation 5 and verse 8, it talks about, it says, the golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So in your prayers for the feast, the more specific you can be, the better. And sixth and most important, we, so many times, we can think we know what's best for us, but we don't always. So make sure that as you put it together, and we do this as a family, we make sure that everything is done according to God's will. Because in the example I gave you before, we didn't put on the list, God, you know we have such and such car, but you know we really want a minivan, so get us a minivan. We didn't do that. We put what we wanted, or thought we wanted, and then said, but God, according to your will. If you would please turn to Mark, the 11th chapter, and we'll read verse 24. God gives us an important instruction regarding prayer. In the 11th chapter of Mark, in the 24th verse, these are Christ's words, it says, therefore I say unto you, whatever things you so desire, when you pray, believe, and you will receive them, and you shall have them. Important concept from God, that if you ask in faith and you believe it, you can receive it. And as a family, we have seen this many, many times at the feast and, of course, at other things. But I would say the overall concept is that when, at least for myself, when I have the family prayer list and list all this and put it before God, I know that I have put things into God's hands. I know that when there are problems, and again, this is not a magical tool that's going to make it so that when we go to the feast we have no problems, but it's a tool that helps us and puts us in a frame of mind that God, you're on my side. I'm here to enjoy and worship you and praise you and to have an inspiring time. And for me, it just is just kind of a weight off of my shoulders that I don't have to worry about, well, what hotel room am I going to get and what kind of car and what about this and what about that. I've done that beforehand, and I just wait to see what God thinks is best for me. In closing, I'd just like to refer to the armor of God, that Paul writes about in Ephesians 6. So if you'll turn to Ephesians 6. In Ephesians 6, Paul writes about the entire armor of God, and I'm not going to go through the entire thing, but I'm going to break in towards the end of it. And in verse 17 of Ephesians 6, Paul writes, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." In verse 18, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the saints." It says here to pray on all different occasions with different kinds of prayers. And we know that there's the prayer for the sick. We know there's the prayer of the faith. And today I've shared with you the family feast prayer. Please remember that what we ask in prayer and what we believe in, we can receive and it will be ours. Brethren, may all of you have a very inspiring and uplifting and spiritual feast. Let us all pray for one another. And let us all rejoice.